Welcome to the Powell Bros Movie Reviews, brought to you by our supporters at Patreon. In case you have been under a rock, the world around us is in ruins. A nihilistic worldview permeates the film industry. Sodomites control the cultural narrative. Corporations run by sexual perverts and money launderers are constantly pumping out garbage content in order to entertain us. But we here at the Powell Bros are over it. We want to give honest reviews of movies that expose the wicked and glorify the good. We want to find stories that have masculine male characters who slay dragons and feminine female characters who are worth saving and who need saving. We want stories and creators who have an artistic prowess that shames and defeats our enemies. And we are tired of the nihilistic moral ambiguity of modern day entertainment, and we want stories that change people, that inspire people towards goodness, towards truth, and beauty. And most importantly, we want to see the entire entertainment industry bow the knee to King Jesus. Yes, we are Christians, and we are unashamed of that. And if you'd wish to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show. Sometimes we come across those movies from our childhood that really captured our imagination. Movies that stick with you over time, over years even. Then there are times when you revisit those movies and they turn out to be not as good as you remember them to be. They don't impact you the same way, or maybe they impact you, but just in different ways. So, is that going to be the case for our movie this month? Stay tuned to find out. Welcome to the Powell Bros Movie Reviews. This is our monthly show, once a month, where we sit down and review movies. We talk about them, we dissect them, we argue about them, and we have a good time. And, I'm one of your hosts, Trent Powell, joined by my other host, Tobiah. How you doing, Tobiah?
Doing good. Excited to be back. Excited to do another movie review, and yeah, this will be fun, as always.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like this format. Just kind of we at the beginning of this, we did it once a week, mm-hmm. Movie a week. That was a lot. It was fun. It was good.
Yeah.
We knocked out a lot of films, but it's been nice to just do it once a month and kind of sit on it a little bit longer and think about it and just dissect it a little more. And yeah. So, Tobiah, what movie are we reviewing this fine evening?
Yeah, this was one of your picks, and we're reviewing The Iron Giants.
Yes, our second animated film.
Yep.
And I won't say my opinion. So, Tobiah, like, what were your initial thoughts after watching it? I know we both watched it as kids. I don't know if you remember it much. I remembered it quite a bit, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, well, I think I only watched this like maybe once.
Okay.
I don't ever remember watching it. I mean, I remember, like, I sort of remember watching it, but I didn't remember anything of the movie when I watched it. And
okay.
Yeah, I maybe watched it once when I was a kid, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. It was, well made, a good story. I mean, you got a kid with a single mom and so obviously, you know, there's the whole premise of the father figure, you know, how does that get filled? So you have the robot, and you have just other characters in this movie that kind of, it all works together pretty well. I think it was a well-made movie, and I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah, I honestly didn't know how you'd think about it. You know, this movie came out in 99. For some reason, I like a lot of movies that come out in between the year 99 and 2000. I think that's the majority of my films.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. And then I have two films that came out in 2015. So I don't know what's up with me. But anyways, this is a... Yeah, I didn't know what you would have thought about it, and I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah,
it's funny. I had watched it a couple years ago, so like once in my adult life. I'm pretty sure I'd watched it with my kids. Didn't have much of an impact on them. I watched it again with them. They still not that interested. I think it's just those older movies don't. Because they've been so saturated with newer animated films, mm-hmm. But then again, they like Toy Story, they like they like Pixar. And so anyway, yeah, it's just interesting seeing that.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it's very much of a kids' movie, honestly, in very many ways.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I was going to get into. Yeah, it's,
even I like I said, like I remember being scared of this movie when I was a kid.
Really,
and so I think
okay.
That maybe that's why I just never watched it as a kid again. Like I probably just watched it once, was scared of it, and didn't want to watch it anymore or something.
Interesting.
So that could be an aspect of it too. It's just kind of a, I don't know. It's a very serious movie. You know, there's no jokes.
Wait.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say there's no joke. Well, I don't know. I think. Well, like. I'd say like Dean, the artist, the kind of somewhat of a foggy father figure. He's like the comedic relief, sort of, but he's like he's really serious sometimes, but it comes off as comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry, I just hadn't thought about that. I think it's got some jokes, but you're right. It's very serious. It deals with some serious adult themes, or like I mean not even adult themes. It deals with like the issues of death and loss and mm-hmm. And then obviously like this movie, you know, set during the Cold War, and you have a lot of historical relevance with kind of what the world was like back in the 50s when everyone's worried that. The whole there was going to be a nuclear war, and you know everyone's always there's just that constant fear mongering and whatnot. So it's like stuff that kids don't get. Mm-hmm. It goes over their heads. But I remember that this was I don't think we own this movie, but I do remember renting it from Blockbuster. It was one mm-hmm. that I know I had requested a handful of times to like re-rent. Because I know I've seen this, like, I saw it quite a bit as a kid. I remember specifically the scenes, like, towards the beginning with when he has the gun and when he's, you know, he's looking for the robot and he finds the robot. And I just remember being, like, in awe of that scene. Mm. And then, like, the flying scene with when the robot flies and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
Stuff that, like, it, like was impactful for me in my childhood. Scenes that I remember. And I loved this movie as a kid, so. Anyways, so that's interesting to seeing the difference between the two of us.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was. I couldn't tell you. I mean, I was three when this movie came out. Mm-hmm. So you were two. So I don't even know. But anyways, let's jump into the story real quick. I just have a pretty brief summary, and then we'll kind of dive deeper into it. Yeah. But yeah, this movie's set in a small town in Rockwell, Maine. It's during the height of the Cold War, as I said, 1957 it takes place. And it pretty much begins when this big metal robot crash lands on Earth. And, seemingly came from outer space. And so you have this, you know, what they refer to as the Iron Giant. And it's voiced by, I don't know if you knew this, it's voiced by Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
And
and the mom is Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, yep. Now, so oh yeah, and I guess I had prefaced what I was going to say. I liked this movie as a kid, and I saw it like 2 years ago, and then I went back and watched it this time, and I liked it less than I did the last time I watched it, cuz I think I was just obviously more critical of it. There are a few things I took issue with in the film, whether it's related to themes, but even just like there's a lot of plot conveniences, like the fact that the kid finds the robot, and then the mom eventually goes looking for the kid and goes to the right spot and finds him. Because we're at the beginning of the film, the kid happens to come across the robot that landed on Earth, it's fine. It's a kid's movie.
The fact that comes upon the robot, that's not weird.
Sure. Yeah.
If it's going to land somewhere, someone's going to come upon it. Like, that's not a plot convenience.
Right. Right. Yeah, I guess it was more just the mom being able to find him.
Yeah, that would be.
I was a little confused by. But maybe. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So Hogarth is our main protagonist, the kid in this film. And Hogarth finds this robot. He is like you said, he has a single mom who, she's a working mom trying to provide for her son. The dad's not in the picture. If I'm not mistaken, they don't tell us what happened to the dad.
I don't think so. Not that
you assume
he,
you assume he, he passed away. He's not in this kid's life.
Probably
it seems
in
like
war.
He's not been probably yeah, possibly. Yeah, it could even been World War II almost. I don't know. Well, no, that'd be like before he was born. But anyway, this kid doesn't have a father. It seems like he hasn't had a father for a while. But you see, he has an adventurous spirit. He wants to go out and search and find things. He's willing to take risk. He longs for adventure. You see, he has a lot of comic books. He reads comic books. He thinks and imagines and dreams about, another world, something else to strive for, to look to go after, and this movie I really think is somewhat of a coming of age story, not necessarily a traditional coming of age, but a lot of elements in like the typical coming of age stories for this kid, and it's just like he's just a normal kid, normal life, sort of. I mean, except for he doesn't have a father. His mother is, raised by a single mom. But he longs for more, longs for adventure. And adventure comes to him. Mm-hmm. And he finds this robot. And, so, I don't know, where do I go from this? He finds this robot. At first, he's really scared of it. He's terrified. This massive, massive robot that's here. But eventually, he kind of befriends him, and out of a desire for this robot to to not get discovered and not get captured, he takes the robot in essentially, and. We have another character that enters the story, the one I had mentioned before. His name's Dean. We'll say he's just this metal artist, I guess. He owns a junkyard, and he knows the kid well. They have an interaction at one point, and it's played by Harry Connick Jr. And yeah, he's brought into the story, and then he's brought along in on this whole adventure because the kid brings the robot to the to the guy's junkyard. I can't remember. Do all the scenes at home, does he bring it to his house first? I'm trying to remember.
All this, what?
Does Hogarth bring the robot to his house first, or does he go straight to the junkyard?
Yeah,
or
he goes to the house.
Okay.
He takes him to his barn.
Right. Right. So, obviously wanting to, keep him safe, she was like, okay, well, I'll take you to my place, hide in my barn. It becomes pretty much impossible for him to do that. He doesn't stay still. He's walking around the property and, very close to getting discovered by his mom. And, so they, obviously need to find another option, somewhere else where he can hide. And as the story progresses and the tension escalates for this kid who's trying to keep this massive robot who's got these powers. Oh, yeah, we also find out that the robot, his head was damaged, and so basically he has amnesia. I don't know if a robot can get amnesia, but we'll say he can. And he
yeah.
He forgets
what he's made for, I guess. He forgets, as we find out, he forgets that he was made to be a killing machine. Mm-hmm. And so he's, the robot is trying to discover the world for the first time, discover what it means to be a sentient being, I guess you could say. And and this kid is teaching him. He's teaching him about right and wrong. He's teaching him about life and death. Teaching him about murder and killing. There is that one scene which, like, I take the, like, there is an obvious anti-gun message in the film, which I take issues with. But I don't know if you really caught onto this. I'm sure you did.
Oh yeah, it was so annoying. Was
right, but it's one served of my a biggest, purpose.
Yeah, it was my biggest complaint about the movie.
So I forgot to mention this before. This was directed by Brad Bird, who of course goes on to direct movies for Pixar like The Incredibles and Ratatouille and what's the other one? Can't remember, but big Pixar. Director. This is his directorial debut. So apparently his wife, before this film, at some point, I don't know if it was like right before or years before, but I heard two conflicting things. I heard one person said that she was murdered. Mm-hmm. She passed away. Another person says offed herself, committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly which one. I should have looked more into it. But anyway, so that was obviously part of the driving factor as to why he incorporated this in the film. So he's probably very anti-gun. So I take issue with that. But he used the analogy of the hunting, also anti-hunting. But hunting and guns to prove a point to say that, okay, this robot, he's a gun, he's a killing machine, he's meant for evil. But the question that is being asked in this film is does something that's made for evil, does it have to, is that its only choice? Is that the only thing it can be, or can it change? Can it be for something else, be used for good, I guess? Which, of course, within that, it's like, okay, yeah, you can use a weapon, you can use a gun for good. That's the point.
Yeah.
But
well, I don't know if that's what that would be debating. I think that, because, I mean, I think the robot's not supposed to be an inanimate object that can be used for one thing or another. I think the robot is supposed to choose what to do, to choose to do the right thing.
Well, right.
Even though he has the power to kill, it's still the being has to choose good or evil, not this thing is an inanimate object.
Inanimate object.
Right. So
I
mean, they say multiple times in this movie, even the ending scene, you know, one of the almost the ending scene, you know, he's like, you know, guns kill people, you don't have to kill people. I don't know, I didn't write down what he said, but he said twice in the movie, guns kill people. And then obviously there's the anti-hunting scene, which was really annoying.
Yeah. Right.
I
think I'm more of saying, like, he was created for the purpose of being a killing machine.
Right.
So whether or not, whether or not they're saying,
I mean, I guess in a way he's
an analogy of a gun or weapon.
He's sort of being dumb in debating his own decision, you know, his own statement. He's making a statement, guns kill people, while also debating... Well, the person that wields the gun can choose to be good or good or evil. So the person wielding the gun can be good or evil, but he also makes the statement very clearly multiple times. Like, and you can see, like, that's the point. By the end of the movie, he's saying guns kill people. But he's also has this sort of debate of like, well, the person wielding the gun can choose to be one way or the other.
Yeah, but he had, like, it's a debate of whether or not he has autonomy to choose good or evil. And he was, though he was programmed to be evil, to be a weapon of mass destruction, he can and should be able to choose to not be, to be, to do right. Yeah, he should have autonomy. And
well, that's sort of what I'm saying. I'm saying, yeah, like yeah. he.
Right. I'm just, that's what I'm saying. I'm summarizing what you're saying. Yeah. 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 And I think that, like, I think the analogy that they chose to convey that was not helpful, or it was helpful in conveying something, but it could have been done in a different way, I guess I would say. And so, but laying that aside, you know, we find out that this robot, you know, he comes from another world, or the Russians, who knows? He's created to be a weapon, mm-hmm. and but he's lost that memory, and so now he's, you know, he's learning things. He's learning about death. Like Hogarth talks about death, and he has the line which was really interesting when he says that death is can actually be okay because it's just a part of life. Like, we all live, we all die. It's things that we go through and we have to deal with. And you can kind of tell this kid has probably experienced a lot of death in his life. Mm-hmm. And you have this, I think, that really profound line and statement in a kid's movie, in mm-hmm. a kid's movie. But he's dealing with the issues of death. And of course that foreshadows, I would say, the ending of the film and something that this robot has to learn and has to work, go through and deal with and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was helpful. But anyways, we have another character enter the story. He is a general in the military, is it Rogard? Yeah. Yeah, Rogard. That's the general leader. All right. We have another character enter the story, Kent Mansley. Mm-hmm. He's a kind of a paranoid government agent who's he's determined to investigate this strange occurrence that's happening in the town of Rockwell. And he, of course, ends up at the doorstep of Hogarth, ends up staying with Hogarth and his mom for a short amount of time, and he grows more and more suspicious of Hogarth because he has all these weird things going on. Then eventually he finds a picture that Hogarth had taken of the robot, and so he's like, yeah, this kid's definitely it. The film kind of hit, the tension escalates when he eventually, you know, uncovers that evidence, and then he calls in a general to hey, come in, I found the robot, I found the thing. And then of course you have the scene where the general shows up, and Mansley guy, he takes him to the junkyard, and they just find a robot that's just made of scrap metal, basically. It looks like he's just another one of the sculptures in the junkyard. And so everyone's like, what is this? Like, you call, you know, is this just a big hoax or whatever? And then, see, there was some comedy. But anyways, they're obviously convinced, eventually they find out that the robot is actually there. They're of course convinced that he's this, nuclear weapon or some kind of, weapon that's sent by a foreign power that's meant to, you know, going to just destroy the U.S. Of course, you know, playing on the analogies or the suspicions that were going on during that time, that fear mongering, that worry that, you know, we're going to go into nuclear war, that a big, you know, a weapon of mass destruction is going to show up and kill everyone. And then eventually it continues to escalate. The robot gets attacked, or the military starts shooting at it. And then his defense mode comes on. Then he starts, you know, basically firing back. And he, of course, you know, still not fully understanding what's going on. You have that that internal conflict that the hero or that the robot is facing, and it kind of comes to a head when the military's aggression provokes the giant into the giant basically into a defensive rage, forcing Hogarth to intervene and remind his friend of the values that they've shared and that they've been learning and growing, and he's been trying to teach them, especially that, you know, the idea that you are who you choose to be. So in the climactic sequence, Mansley, his paranoia leads him to basically order a nuclear strike on Rockwell, on the town, because of the giant robot, and unaware that, of course, Hogarth and the giant are still in the vicinity of the bomb in Rockwell. So the giant, now fully embracing his capacity for heroism. So the boy does convince, you know, this robot that, you know, you can choose to be good. And then you have this great heroic scene that I think was very well built up, where he recognizes though he was made to destroy, he's now going to die for others, for his friend, for this town. He's going to be a hero. You have the whole theme of Superman and superheroes and comic books, and he is and the robot is also interestingly fascinated by the concept of a superhero, and he chooses in the end to be a hero, where he flies at the bomb, takes the bomb away, blows up, he sacrifices himself, he takes it over away from the city, and in order to protect Rockwell, leaving Hogarth and the townspeople to just be in awe of what's happening and so forth, he saves the city. And yeah, I think it just has a great payoff in the end when he makes that sacrifice. And of course, leave it at that. He dies, blows up, nuclear bomb, you know, no way he could survive that. But he does, because you got that last minute resurrection of our hero, where Hogarth actually found a piece of him that survived, and he held on to it. They also built a statue for him in the town, which is another great moment, because this terror, this monster, turned out to be a hero in the end, chose to be a hero, and then they honor him as one who sacrificed himself to save this town, so they create a statue of him. And then you have the scene where the piece that he has starts twitching or whatever, and turns out all the pieces are coming back together, and he comes back alive. So death and resurrection, which I was fine with, because that's like a superhero. That's like a superhero moment, you know. Superman has, you know, and you know, you have Superman in the death of Superman, a comic book series, where Superman dies, and he's actually dead. He goes in the grave, but then he is resurrected. He comes back alive. Like that. That's heroes died and resurrect all the time. That happens. And of course, you have metaphorical deaths and so forth. But I thought that was well handled. So, anyways, that's basically our story. And there's a lot of elements in that I was very fascinated by. Anything that you want to touch on or dive into from that?
Probably I really liked the character of the guy that owned the junkyard. What was his name again?
Dean.
Dean,
Yeah.
I think he was a really good character. I think he actually, in the end, was... this isn't profound or anything, but he was like the father figure, and... I really liked just his relationship with the boy and just how that progressed and yeah, I mean, it's just like a real good father figure character, and it just, yeah, it worked well. And then of course in the end he marries his mom, and
yeah I thought they had a good kind of character progression, because he's kind of a loser who's mm-hmm. trying to make a career for himself as a failing artist, yeah. essentially, and he takes this boy kind of, you know, under his mantle, and just takes care of him, helps him through this journey, and helps him protect this robot, and you have just fun banter between them. I thought that was good, and then he matures throughout the story, and then he goes, helps the boy helps this story progress, helps the boy out, mm-hmm. and eventually, and then gets the girl, marries his mom, and takes that responsibility upon himself, and yeah, I think he's a good father figure to the boy. I thought that was good, good choice, for the story.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah, I mean, so do you think the Iron Giant was supposed to just be like a sort of a friend for him, or literally like a Superman hero, like just a hero for him to look up to through his problems?
A blend of both.
Yeah.
Because they both needed each other. Like I said, this boy, he longed for adventure. He longed for something more. And he was brought in on this adventure, essentially. Like, he needed to grow and learn and in a sense be heroic, to make sacrifices for this robot that he meets. And, you know, he recognizes that this robot has, they have the whole concept of souls. Like, I think the robot says, like, all souls live forever or something. And mm-hmm. we're assuming that the robot has a soul. Mm-hmm. You have those elements of it where it's like, okay, this kid recognizes that this robot is essentially a person, mm-hmm. from the story standpoint.
Yeah.
And so he helps this robot learn about good and evil, about life and death, and the kid's teaching him, but the robot's also helping the kid as he goes on his adventure, and he learns what it means to be a hero. This movie, in a sense, is about this kid's fascination with comic books, mm-hmm. with superheroes. You have the comic books laid out in his room. He reads comic books. He is fascinated by heroes, and he has now a hero that he looks up to, but one that also needs to grow and learn from him. So it's not a superhero movie, mm-hmm. in any sense of the word, I don't think.
Right.
But yeah. There, it's about his fascination with superheroes. It's about his fascination with that. So, but when the robot makes that sacrifice, when he shows that he's learned his lessons and he goes and lays his life down, that I think that's kind of that coming of age moment for the kid, where he sees that hero and he looks up to that hero. That's why they built the statue of him. The kid now has someone to look up to, and a model of what a superhero is, what a hero is, what a man is, uh-huh. in some sense. So, like, not necessarily that I don't think the robot was really a father figure.
Right.
But you have still that father hunger that I think is there, where he wants to learn. He wants to be taken on adventure. He wants someone to follow. And that robot ends up being that person that he could follow and look up to. Mm-hmm. When the robot makes the right choice, when he chooses not to kill. But the robot needed the kid in order to remind him of what is good and what is wrong, to remind him of what it means to be a hero, mm-hmm. remind him of what the kid knows and what the kid's learned as he's been fascinated with superheroes and comic books. He's taught this robot. The robot is reminded by the kid, and then he makes the right choice, chooses to be a hero, sacrifices himself, and saves this town, saves all these people, even those that would have hated him, would have wanted him dead. He still sacrificed himself for them, mm-hmm. which is what a hero does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. What were some of those issues that you had with the story?
I think just things I've already said.
Oh, damn.
There's a few plot points just here and there that bothered me, the conveniences,
uh-huh.
things that I may would have done differently. I mean, besides what I've said, I can't really think of anything else, any other ones that stood out. But I don't know. I don't think the pacing was that bad. I think it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
At first I was like a little annoyed by the fact that the robot survived, came mm-hmm. back alive at the end. I was like, okay, come on. Like, you have the themes of death prevalent throughout the films. Like, just leave him dead. Like, it makes sense. But then I thought more about it. I was like, oh no, that's a superhero thing. Mm-hmm. That's resurrection. That's new life. He comes back, and mm-hmm. you know, it's the Christ figure. It's all right there. So I was like, oh, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think. And then, like I said, it's very much anti-gun. Well, what's funny is there is an anti-gun message, and the kid's like, you know, guns kill people. But you don't have to, or whatever. But it's like, the kid, you literally took a gun to go hunt down this robot at the beginning of the film. he was carrying a gun. He would have used the gun to kill the robot if it threatened him or whatever. Or if he could do that. So it was a little contradictory there. That was like, that you guys aren't even staying true to your message. Anyways.
Yeah. It was a little odd. For sure.
And. Yeah, I think
the kid is constantly using guns throughout the movie, even the toy gun, and but I wonder, like, is that purposeful? Like, is I don't know. Maybe there is more to it. Like, maybe he is really presenting a debate for, you know, if guns kill people.
Uh huh.
Like, he could be arguing the other way, I feel like, almost. I wish I remember what the kid said in the end. But I'm pretty sure he was saying that, I think it was something along the lines of, like, guns don't kill people, but you don't have to. Or guns kill people, but you don't have to.
Yeah, that is what he said, yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder if it's like, yeah, I think it's saying, you know, it's like, you know, it's hippie peace, kind of like
mm-hmm.
you don't kill bad people and you don't kill good people. You don't kill people at all is what it's saying.
Don't kill little people at all. Yeah.
I think it's saying that, you know, guns are harmful no matter what, no matter who you're pointing them at, they're going to guns kill people. Yeah. And so he's presenting an argument that that we shouldn't use guns at all because they
right.
So the argument is that
it's an anti-war message.
Yeah, anti-war message, anti-killing,
pacifist,
anti. I don't know, killing bad guys, even.
Sure. Yeah,
because in the end, I mean, if you think about it, like, even the robot was sort of the bad guy, and the good guys were trying to kill him, the whole movie is essentially just an anti-war message, anti-gun message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, and. And a lot of that comes with the time period that they chose to to set this movie in, mm-hmm. you know, with the Cold War. And then, you know, of course, from there you have the hippie movement, you know, of course, because you have Vietnam coming up and all the issues surrounding that, mm-hmm. that war and whatnot. So, yeah, it makes sense because this was like the prevalent, I don't know, concern. These are a lot of the same concerns that people were having back then, mm-hmm. and probably a lot of the same conclusions people were coming to, and especially coming out of World War II, and then the, you know, and then you have the Cold War, and you have this whole fear and worry about nuclear war happening, and so forth. So, yeah, it was a little hyper politicized, I guess, of a movie,
right?
Somewhat, though it was kind of maybe critiquing both sides of the aisle, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's
what it is.
I think it was just fully
just straight
anti-gun, yeah. anti-war,
right?
Anti-killing bad guys, anti-killing good guys. Guns kill.
Yeah,
I guess that's what it's saying. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't really have much else. Did you have much else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I'd say animation was great. Mm. I don't know if you noticed, but the whole landscape in the film was 2D, except for the characters, especially the robot, especially. He was a 3D animated character, mm-hmm. set in a 2D world, mm. essentially. And this was pretty unique to this time, mm-hmm. In the late 90s, early 2000s. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought the animation style was great. And yeah, it's, I don't know. I think there's a lot of, it's like emotional depth to the film, especially as you get attached to both these characters and the journey they go on, and mm. and then the conclusion, his sacrifice. And yeah, there are a lot of good elements about this film, 100%.
Yeah.
It's just other things surrounding it, and like I said, the time period and the anti-war messaging, and
the father hunger, and then the uh-huh. guy acting as the father figure all worked out well. And I liked, like I said, I really liked the relationship between the whatever that guy was, his name was, and then the kid, and mm-hmm. yeah, and then the sacrificial aspects. Yeah, it's all good.
Totally. Yeah, well, you want to move on to rating?
Yeah, sure.
I guess I can go first. This one, this one's difficult. I was thinking like high sixes, to be honest. It's hard to weigh it with thinking about other films we've done. There are a lot of good things here. Animation style, I think, is great. I am a fan of animated films in general, when they're done well. And I just like these older animations. I think there's just a lot more personal touch to them, mm-hmm. a lot more life to them than what we have today with more computer generated stuff. And
yeah,
not that this wasn't computer generated, it was, but it's still in that era of animation that I think I appreciate a lot, mm-hmm. As they were still like learning how to go from 2D hand-drawn animation to more computer mm-hmm. animation. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's an incredible film or anything. So like 6.9 is where I'm going with this. Might be a little low, but I think that's great.
Mine's lower than that.
Yours is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, after talking it through, like, the whole anti-gun thing, I feel like that's just what this movie is about at this point.
Sure. I don't know if it's what it's about necessarily.
It's a very big portion of it. It's like at least 40% of the movie.
It's because of the time period that they set it in.
But it's still...
That it seems more like that it is more prevalent than...
Yeah.
Because it is about this kid and his...
Yeah. No, for sure.
His journey and what he goes on, and they use the anti-gun analogy to tell the story and show the struggle that this that Iron Giant has mm-hmm. When he's trying to decide whether or not he should use the abilities that he's been given for good or for evil.
Right.
It's just, you know, superhero struggle essentially. Yeah. This is like, what if Superman came to Earth and didn't know whether or not he was, you know, good or bad, or what even good and evil is, and so he learns what good and evil is, and then he chooses,
right?
And he goes on a journey to decide, and he eventually learns about the world around him and how he should best use his abilities. I didn't explain that very well, but yeah. Anyways,
right.
But I get what you're saying. It is pretty prevalent in the film.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting at like right at a 6. I mean,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll give you the edge. So like what, 6.4?
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
Cool.
6.4. Yeah. Well, that was our review of The Iron Giant.
Iron Giant.
Got 6.4.
Brad Bird.
Yep. And then our next movie is... What's our next movie?
That's a good question.
Is it Walk the Line? I think it's Walk the Line.
Yeah, it is Walk the Line.
I think it's Walk the Line, if I'm wrong.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, well, get over it. But yeah, Walk the Line is our next movie. Yep, that was my pick. That'll be a fun one next month. Look forward to it. And
biopic.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well, that was our review of The Iron Giant. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope that was beneficial for you. And hope we've helped you kind of see these things in these movies and to start noticing them yourselves when you're watching movies and know what to look out for. And yeah, remember to glorify God and watch good movies. We're out.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.